Florida State's 2025 football schedule is starting to take shape. We've known the opponents, but now we've got some key dates that have been released for six games of the season. Now, of course, as you guys know, the full schedule release is going to be Monday night at 9 p.m. on ACC Network. And then coming on Wednesday, we will have our opportunity to sit down and do a full schedule breakdown for you guys. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But we got enough games that we felt like we could come in and kind of give you some thoughts on this early schedule. Because, Michael, it's, you know, we're excited for this 2025 season. We're hoping to get back on track. And now we know how the first month of the season is going to shape up for Florida State. So excited to get into this one. We got a couple other things to talk about. Some what in the ACC is going on with this championship game talk. We got to talk about too. And then some thoughts on some way too early top 25 rankings that we saw for 2025 and a few other thoughts. So excited to get into this one. And how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Jesse. I'm good. Yeah, I mean, it just feels like, you know, we just had the national championship, you know, about a week ago. And now we're talking about 2025. I'm looking forward to it because Florida State's got to get off the schneid. You know, we got to get back into the national conversation. And this is the beginning of it. What does the schedule look like? How's it going to shape up? You know, a lot of the season can be determined about where the games are placed in the season, where the buys are placed. And so, yeah, we're going to do a little sneak preview here, and then we're going to really get into it next week.
Yeah, I agree, because even when you come into the season, you know, way before the season, you knew the opponent. So you knew, like, okay, this team's going to be hard, that's going to be hard. You knew home or away, but sometimes the way it shakes out, the order of operations, if I may, really kind of can change things. And that's so right. We got some interesting things to talk about here. Obviously, like you said, 2024 is done. It is buried, just like Tallahassee was buried under snow, Michael. How crazy was that? So hopefully all of you guys in Florida are staying warm. And who would have ever thought, Michael, the state of Florida would get a blizzard before Miami could win an ACC championship. So
Of course.
So that is very interesting. Record-setting stuff. And, you know, if you saw on the Doak live cam, someone wrote a very inspiring message to our friends down there in Gainesville as well. So
They sure did. I loved it.
It's been a fun week, a little FUF there in Tallahassee. So it's been a fun week. But let's get into this schedule release, man. Obviously, we knew the first game, Alabama. That was one that we've known for a long time. We knew the date, we knew the location and all that stuff. So that's no surprise there, but we'll still share a few thoughts on it. Obviously, you come in here August 31st inside Doak Campbell Stadium, a hopefully should be on schedule done Doak Campbell Stadium, which your capacity should be back around 70,000. So at least we'll have that. At least we'll be back to a normal stadium atmosphere here. And this is a big one, man. But you look at Alabama coming into this season, they got a lot of question marks themselves. You know, Florida State is going to be, this is a massive measuring stick coming into the season. The truth of the matter is, with the way the playoffs shake up and, you know, shake out now and the automatic bids and things like that, you know, as sad as it is to say, because you want to win every game at Florida State, the standard is not to just win your ACC games. But truthfully, if you were to lose this game, you could still make it in the playoffs if that's your goal, right? And of course it is for them. I don't know that we're predicting us to make the playoffs this year, but you know, it doesn't kill your whole season to lose this game. Correct. But man, if you could win it, what a shot across the bow that Florida State is back. And that's regardless of what Bama did last year. Now, of course, you know, Bama finished 9-4 last year, one of the worst seasons they've had in quite some time, but that's still a really good Alabama team. They beat Wisconsin 42-10. They beat Georgia at home. They beat Missouri 34-0. So, like, it's still a dangerous team. But when I look at Alabama, they lost two of their last three games to end last season. They were 2-4 outside of Bryant Denny, counting the neutral site game for the bowl against Michigan. They could have very easily lost a fifth game against South Carolina had South Carolina not fumbled the bag multiple times at the end of that game. But still a top 25 scoring offense, top 10 scoring defense, so it's still a very good team. Obviously, this is going to be the first game of the season, and when you look at Alabama, you know, we got a new quarterback coming in too, but so do they. Jalen Milroe is gone, and Jalen Milroe was a really big part of that offense. None of their backups have played more than 75 snaps in 2024. You know, when you look at these games, man, Bama's got some questions to answer here themselves as they come into Doak Campbell Stadium to take on a team that really is looking to prove themselves, like you said, and get back off the snide and back into the national picture. So give me your thoughts on that Bama game.
Listen, it's Alabama. I don't care how good or bad they've been. They have been the standard, at least you know, the last, you know, 10 or so years. Obviously, Georgia's come on a little bit. Ohio State now, obviously, champion Michigan last year as well, too. But Bama's been the standard, whether Nick Saban is there or not. They've been the standard for a while. So to be able to play them, which, by the way, Jesse, you know, this is the first time Bama and Florida State have played five times. This is the first time Bama's coming to Doak Campbell Stadium.
Really?
In the five-year history. Yes. They've played twice at Bama. They've played in Alabama in Birmingham. And then they played in Jacksonville, Florida, where Nick Saban's first year, Bobby Bowden beat them. And then, of course, obviously, we remember 2017, that devastating of a year. But, yeah, so this will be the first time they actually come to Doak Campbell Stadium. Florida State is 1-3-1. So they've won one, they've lost three, and they've tied once. And I know we'll get into all that when we do the big schedule release. But, you know, my thoughts and kind of what I said to you in the pre-show is that, you know, this is a game you want to win. We're not like Morrill Gables. We don't have moral victories here at Florida State, right? Like, you win, great. You lose, that's on you, and you got to figure it out. But I will say that if you were to lose, I totally agree with you. This doesn't derail your opportunity to get to the playoffs. I mean, we're not. Right now, at least, we're not predicting them to be a playoff team. But it doesn't derail your opportunity to get to the playoffs, especially if you go on to win the ACC championship or, you know, you go on to have a really good season. But you cannot, if you do lose this game, what you can't do is get blown the heck out.
Yes.
Like, this can't be a 42-10 game. This can't be a 35-3 game. Like, at worst, you need to have scored 20-plus points in this game. Right. To feel like, okay, obviously we're not at that level because it doesn't matter how bad Kalen DeBoer has been. They still got talent. But we're at least at a level in which we can see progress. And so I think that's going to be really important for Mike Norvell and this new coaching staff to really see what they got. And that's the one great thing about this game is that you'll get to see what type of team you have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, it's going to be an insane atmosphere inside Doak. I can't wait just to see how things play out with having this type of marquee game here, regardless of what happened last season. But I do think this is one of those games where you come in and it's like, okay, if you win, it's great for you. If you lose, it's not good. But like you said, man, you just can't get blown out because then it's going to be like the same old story again. Right. I mean, this is a team that got blown out by a 6-6 Oklahoma and scored three points.
Right.
So, like,
that's right.
You've got to put up a fight. Now, the good thing is, I think regardless of what happens in that Alabama game, and I mean, like we said, man, if you win that game, that sends shockwaves across college football coming from last season. But the good thing is regardless of what happens in that game, you have a chance. Now, Michael, if I had like a college football genie and I could get a wish, I would move the game to East Texas A&M, who, you know, a lot of people never even heard of them before we started playing them. Used to be Texas A&M Commerce.
That's right.
But
that's right.
This is a program where you got to win this game. This is a tiny little FCS school. If I could have one wish, I would move that to week zero. And yes, I would
absolutely love
like the Duquesne game before LSU a few years ago. I would love to have that as a tune-up game. Man, that would have been huge. I don't care how much, you know, whatever they're paying them, double it and ask them to move it to week zero. That would have been huge. But obviously, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I think the good thing is, knowing that you're not going to get that as a tune-up game, you have a chance to, if you lose, immediately recover from that game.
That's right.
Also, if you win the Bama game, you don't really have to worry about an emotional hangover the next week.
Right.
Like, regardless of what happens, this is a very winnable game. I mean, again, a 3-9 FCS team from a year ago. And, you know, I was just trying to do some quick background research on them. Like, they lost 45-14 to San Diego State. And so they started 0-5. Two of their three wins last year were by a combined 6 points. So, I mean, you should absolutely crush these guys. So, you know, there's not a whole lot to say about that East Texas A&M game. But if it's not a tune-up game, I like the location of where it's at because, like I said, whether you're coming off an emotional win or an emotional loss, you got a chance to immediately bounce back into the win column in a game that you should also get to explore some of your depth chart in, too. So, depending on, you know, because you're going to have a lot of new pieces, too, and they're going to have to be all hands on deck for that first game. But this will be one you get a chance to kind of see what you got going forward the rest of the season.
No, I absolutely agree. I totally agree. I would have loved to for this have been a week zero game. We have seen in Florida State's history, especially under Mike Norvell, when they get that week zero game, it gives them a little bit of a ability to kind of work out whatever early kinks there are in the offense and the defense and then go into a big game. I mean, let's be real. They probably don't win that LSU game in 22 without that Duquesne game first, right? We saw what happened when LSU came into that game, you know, and they got down big and then obviously worked their way back. But I think Florida State wins that game because they already had a game under their belt to get them going, to figure out how they were going to leverage Jordan Travis, how they were going to use Johnny Wilson in that season and whatnot. Now, then last year, or I'm sorry, in 23, they didn't have a week zero game, but they had LSU right at the top and they were already such a juggernaut that they were going to blow out LSU anyways, because that's what we do against LSU. I really felt like if they could have had a week zero game last year, I wonder if maybe a part of the season goes a little bit differently. I'm not saying it would have gone majorly differently, but I wonder if instead of flying to Ireland to play Georgia Tech, if we played a Duquesne-like team week one and then played a Georgia Tech in Ireland like that, would that have been a little bit different? And so I would have liked Texas A&M to be up there, but you know what? Regardless of the fact, they're going to come off that Alabama game, win or lose, and then they'll have the game to really kind of get into the fix whatever problems they had against Alabama, if they whatever showed up there. And again, you know, they've never played East Tennessee or East Texas. I keep wanting to say East Tennessee, Texas A&M. So it'll be the first time. Like you said, it's a 3-9 FCS team. It should be a no-brainer.
Yeah, go handle your business. That's all I ask. I think in this game, it's just one of them where, like, you bounce back from whatever happens at Alabama. You get some young players some experience before the season, and you just avoid injury. I think that's pretty much all you got to ask. Got like Charleston Southern last year. And then, Michael, after that comes the worst time to bye week I may have ever seen in my life, and that is between East Texas A&M and Kent State on September the 13th. Florida State will not have a game that week, and the reason I say it's one of the worst time buys ever is because you're only two games into the season, so you're not even beat up yet. It's not even really helping you from a rest situation. You don't really get, and I know sometimes there's the rest versus rust conversation, and does a bye week really help you to have extra time to prepare for people and all that stuff? It didn't really help us a lot last year on our bye weeks there, but you know, you get an extra week to prepare for Kent State. I mean, that's just a waste. Like, you could have put that bye week after Kent State. I would have felt a lot better about that. Now, I will say at least the good thing, I was trying to talk myself into how can I turn this bye week into a positive, because I just think it's a terrible time to have a bye week. It's a waste of a bye week anyway. The one positive shine that I can put on the bye week in week three between after the first two games is that at least if – say things didn't go the way you wanted against Alabama, and then East Texas A&M comes out, use that as a glorified scrimmage, essentially. Then you have the bye week to make whatever wholesale changes and adjustments you need. Then you come back against Kent State, again, a very winnable game, and you can get a chance to kind of take a couple extra measurements, come back out, play Kent State, test those changes before you start ACC play the next week. So terribly timed bye week leads into Kent State.
Yeah. I don't like it either, man. I just don't like the fact that you would use a pivotal week where you're supposed to get rest, you recuperate, you get your injured players back, and we're going to put that on week three of the season after you just had Alabama and East Texas A&M to just get ready for Kent State. Now, I wonder if Mike Norvell will use this as an opportunity to say, okay, it's not going to be like a true bye week. Like, we'll rest a little bit, but really we're going to scrimmage on Saturday.
Yeah.
We're going to actually play a game. Obviously going to be against us. That way they come back into that, you know, next week with Kent State to be able to have almost quasi 3 weeks to get ready for that game coming up after Kent State, which I know we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, and I will say the one positive that I do like as we transition into Kent State. I mean, Kent State they were terrible last year. 0-12. And not only just 0-12, Michael, but they were really bad. Okay. Mm. They played some tough teams now. They played Pitt, Tennessee, and Penn State last year as the three Power Four teams that they played. They lost by a combined score of 182-24.
Ooh.
My goodness. And the 24 points was all against Pitt. So they lost 71-0 against Tennessee. So again, this is a game looking at Kent State here on September the 20th that you should win this game.
That's right.
Hands down. Now, yes. I like this here. The one thing I will say about what I do like about this is some of the positions like backup quarterback are something that you don't really feel like you have a good grasp on right now. So that's I feel right. like by the time you get into the meat of your schedule, when you start with that Virginia game and then into Miami, you will have had a chance to see what Thomas Castellanos has, then also give some other quarterbacks some time to develop in Gus Malzahn's new system. So you can kind of have an idea of who your sixth and seventh lineman is, of who your top two running backs are, of your backup quarterback is. So I like that as well. And then again, it's just more positive momentum. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be like touting a win over East Texas A&M or Kent State for that matter. But regardless of how that Bama game goes, you have a chance to get two wins under your belt in the month of September, which I do like because then at least you have some positive momentum. And, you know, it's like we were talking about, by the time you go into that UVA game, you are almost a month removed from Alabama. So, and you should, in theory, have two wins. Now, if you lose either one of these games, fire everybody. We're not playing the rest of the season. We'll reconvene in 26. But you should be a minimum of 2-1 going into UVA. And so no matter what happens in that Bama game, you've had a chance to kind of wipe the slate clean. Yes, it's against bad teams, but then you've had a chance to really get some practice in to kind of ramp up. Where last year it was like, man, you started with a good Georgia Tech team, then you went to a good Boston College team. So you really, and Memphis was a good team too. So you really didn't get any early tune-up games. So I kind of wish you could have moved East Texas A&M to a week zero and then saved Kent State maybe for like before Florida. But I think getting the two easy games and a bye in the first month of the season, with so many changes being made to this 2025 team, you should have a lot of that figured out by the time you get to the UVA game. And obviously you got Bama, which, you know, could go either way.
Yeah. And this sounds terrible. So Noel Nation, hear me say this. This sounds absolutely terrible. And I hate that I even have to say this. But what's nice about this is that, you know, last year we started the season 0-3, then 1-9, and finished 2-10. At least by the time we get to that Virginia game, at worst, we are 2-1. We've already hit our season of wins from last year. So at worst, we're 2-1. Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome if we're 3. Man, if we're 3-0.
Oh,
bro,
gosh,
I'm buying tickets to the national championship game.
Right.
But,
no.
But I'm just saying, like, it'd be so nice to just have those two wins already. Not that we're guaranteeing like the wins. I don't want to jinx it like that, but it'd be nice to have those two wins at least, and at best three wins already, and not wait all the way until the end of the year just to get our second win. So that is the good thing about this. And then again, because you have East Texas A&M, a bye week, Kent State, you literally have 3 weeks to plan for Virginia and Miami, which and if you're looking for a positive spin on that, that's where you got.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then so you start ACC play on September the 26th with also your first road game. And you know, Michael, the ACC loves to give Florida State some non-Saturday games. And so I know most of the fan base, you lead the charge on this, hate these non-Saturday games. And so September 26th, Florida State goes on the road up to UVA, up to Charlottesville, to face a Virginia team that we've kind of had a mixed bag here recently with some wins and losses against them. But this is a Virginia team that you feel like you should be able to win coming off basically 3 weeks to kind of get right. And so when you look at this UVA team, 5-7 last year, 3-5 in ACC play, lost 6 of their last 7 games. Now, they did have a good win against BC, and they did have a good win against Pitt. 2 of their 5 wins were against non-Power 4 teams. Their scoring offense was 107th in the country. Scoring defense was 93rd. This is not a good team, right? It's just not. They play Stanford before you at home. And then obviously, as you know, we get Kent State. So when I was just doing some quick research, and again, we're going to have a full breakdown on Monday of every team on the schedule here, on Wednesday after the schedule drops on Monday. But just an immediate look, they lost their starting quarterback. They lost their top wide receiver. They lost their top tight end, who were the only pass catchers over 250 yards. They lost their top running back. Their quarterback was their leading rusher. He's gone. They lost their starting center, their top tackler, and their top two in TFL. So Virginia is another team that has a lot of questions to answer in their own right, and they're going to be early in the season as well. And, I mean, Virginia is one of those teams, like, you know, you're going to share with us in a second about the way the record has been. They can sneak up and beat you if you don't take them seriously. You can't just roll the helmet out there. But I was looking it up, man. They have had 5 winning seasons in the last 20 years.
Ooh, wow.
This is not a good program, right? So you should beat them. Now, they did almost upset Louisville last year, and they played Notre Dame way closer than you did. So you can't sleep on them. It's on the road. But again, man, I feel like this is one with the momentum that you're going to get from getting, hopefully being a minimum of 2-1 to 3-0. You should be able to go up there on the road and start ACC playoff with a win, with a Friday game. Probably, I'm assuming right now that it's going to be a Friday night game. That's usually why they do these. So it would be a Friday night game against UVA before you come back to face Miami. So, man, I mean, at this point, like with this UVA game, you know, you feel like if you can go up there, and this is one of those games when you talk about 2025, right? There's a handful of games that you should win. Then there's a handful of coin flip games. And then there's a couple of games that you should lose that maybe you need to pull an upset in one of them. The Bama, Clemson, Miami, Florida. Like, maybe you go 1-3, 2-2 or better in those games. If you know, if things go break your way.
Right.
This is one of those games that you should win at UVA. And so you have the potential to go into that Miami game 3-1, which would be great, or potentially 4-0. I don't think you can go into that. I don't think you can go into Miami any less than that, or this is already going off the rails early.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, it's interesting with Virginia, you know, when Florida State first entered the ACC, they played, you know, 15 straight years. And then, of course, the ACC expanded. And then now, basically, they've played Virginia almost every 4 to 5 years. And since 2004, Florida State is 4-3. And we'll get into a lot more of this stuff when we do the full breakdown. But Florida State's 4-3 since 2004 against Virginia. And Florida State has actually owns a one-game losing streak to Virginia. They played Virginia in 2019, you know, that was the Willie Taggart era, and they lost at Charlottesville. I remember that game. I watched it, 31-24, and I was ready to fire Willie Taggart right after that game. I know everybody waited till Miami. I was ready to fire him after Virginia Tech, but, you know, that's a whole nother story. Florida State's 15-4 lifetime against them. They own a 6-3 road record against Virginia. Now, I said all that stuff I'll say about Virginia. They're a terrible team. Florida State should win. My bone to pick is with the ACC. Why in the world do we always get these crazy voodoo, magical, they kicked a field goal off the Empire State Building and somehow it went through game like these? We always get these games.
Yeah.
And Florida State always plays their worst games like on these games. I am so sick and tired of this. Why can't we host a Friday game? I know there's like, I remember one time hearing about like students or city. I don't really know what it is. I'm so sick and tired of these games. This is a game for Florida State. Mike, you got to win this game. You cannot lose this game. You cannot lose this game.
Yeah, I know we had Florida on Friday night a couple of years ago, but you're right. I mean, hey, look, at least if we're going to play a non-Saturday game, it's not in Raleigh, because my goodness, which we don't know the rest of the schedule yet. So that'll probably be a Thursday night game, and we'll just pencil that as an L and move on.
Exactly.
Because that place is the house of horrors. But no, I agree. I do think this UVA game, and I think this is a can't-lose game, and I hate to use that term sometimes.
I agree, though.
I do think this is a can't lose game, because if you go on the route on the road and you lose to UVA, a team that's not great, and then you've got to back that up. Say you lost to Bama already, and then you got Miami coming the week after. This is a can't lose game. You have to win this Virginia game. So they got to figure out how to go up there and get a win on the road. So obviously, no matter what happens there, that's going to lead into the big one. And typically we don't get Miami this early, but it's early this year. We have Miami on October 4th inside Doak Campbell Stadium. So obviously this is going to be huge, man. This is a big one for us. 10-3 last year. Lots of new faces. As if you listen to our last episode, go check it out. We did some offseason intel on Miami. They, of course, brought in Carson Beck, but they lost basically all of their offensive production. They bring in a new defensive coordinator. They're going to be starting over a lot themselves. So for me, I know they're going to be a few games into this, but I do feel better that you get them earlier in the season, so they don't have as much time to get in rhythm with the pieces that they're bringing in. Now, they do have, I was looking it up earlier, they have a bye week before they face Florida State, but they will be coming off of that game against Florida. down in Hard Rock. So they got a couple challenges early on. Obviously, they opened with Notre Dame, and then they got Florida before us. So, man, they got a couple of tough games under their belt. So we'll see what their record is coming into this one. But this is a huge game, too. I mean, if you could somehow, some way, get to where you have only lost one game or none in these first five games, man, you have set yourself up for a run on the rest of the season. And so, obviously, the Miami one is just a huge game, man. Yeah, this is one that you always want to win regardless of how your season goes. But it's early in the year. And so, you get them at your place. They got a lot to replace. You got a lot to replace. And, man, I'm excited for this one. I really am. I think Florida State has a better chance than people think against Miami. But, man, you're going to have to bring it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Florida State had – I mean, I know I say this, and it feels like tongue-in-cheek, but I actually thought Florida State could have beat Miami this season. If you look at the game, I really thought Florida State could have done it. If they could have got their, butts out of, or heads out of their butts and like figured out this offense, they could have beat Miami. So I'm not going to say, oh, Miami is this juggernaut that we're years apart. Mario has recruited well, but you've seen what Mario's recruiting and coaching acumen do when you put those together. They can't win a championship. I mean, dadgummit, it snowed in Florida before Miami won a champion ACC championship. That's ridiculous, right? So Florida State can beat Miami. I still believe that. I don't think the gap is that far. I think it's like very little, okay? Now, the thing is, I like where this game is placed because this reminds me of the Miami-Florida State rivals when I was a kid back in the 90s. This was always around the time where you would see, that first or second week in October, you'd see Miami come up. And that way, you kind of knew where your season was headed as you would get into that Miami game. This is also a can't-lose game. I know it feels crazy to say that, but this can't lose, Mike. You're 3-2 against Miami. You can't go 3-3, bro. I know Bobby Bowden had a losing record against Miami. Jimbo did it. Willie did. You can't. Can't have it happen, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough ask to get this win, but I mean, I almost agree because you also have to go to the swamp against looks to be a good Florida team later in the season, which is the last game, obviously, that we have the known date for here on November 29th to end your season, which is, always you can set your watch to that one. Yeah. But that's going to be a tough one to win, and you don't want to lose to both rivals 2 years in a row. You just don't want that to happen. So that's going to be huge. But, when you step back and you look at what we know so far of the schedule overall, and again, there's a lot left to put these pieces into the puzzle of where things are going to shake out because you still have Virginia Tech in there. You still have NC State, Wake Forest. You got a lot of these other games that got to be put in there. I will think, when's the other bye week coming? That's one of the biggest questions that I have for Monday night. I think it's going to be somewhere around that Stanford game because the ACC did talk about this last year at ACC Media Days about how they're going to handle these West Coast trips. And so anytime you have to go out that far, they try and give you a bye week or a non-Saturday game close to that. So you have that extra time, that extra layover. So your bye week's going to come somewhere around that Stanford game, which kind of tells you if you already have a bye week this early in the season, I think that's going to come later in the season. Yeah. So we'll have to see when that comes out. The one thing I do like, too, is you only have to leave Tallahassee one time in the first month of the season. So you get to stay close to home. You get to stay in your element. And so I like that, too. You get the home field advantage against Alabama and Miami. But with that said, that also means now, obviously, you're going to have a bye week in here somewhere because you're not going to play, you're not going to play all the games throughout the rest of the season. You're going to have a bye week. But that means you're only going to have three home games in the final 8 weeks. So you're going to have to be some road warriors late in the season. Obviously, like I said, you're going to have a bye week in there, but that means you're going to have to go to Stanford, to Florida. All these away games that you're going to have, they're going to pile up late in the season. So you're not going to have a whole lot there. The other thing that I did notice is there is no cupcake before Florida, which is something that we typically have. I don't think it's a huge deal, but it's just something that you typically have as a tune-up game. Didn't help last year, but what that does tell me, though, is if you think back to last year, now, granted, we weren't in the ACC picture, but if you remember after that Notre Dame game or before the Notre Dame game last year, after North Carolina, your ACC schedule was done. So you knew if you were going to be taking your trip to Charlotte or not.
That's right.
With your last ACC game, because we already know all your non-conference games, your last ACC game is going to be the week before Florida. So if things go the way you want, you probably won't know if you're going to be locked in for Charlotte or not until the week before Florida. So that means you're going to have to be invested later in the season. And so that's a couple of my big picture takeaways as we get ready for the rest of the schedule to drop on Monday.
Yeah, I think for my big picture take, I think, you know, your four toughest games you'd probably say is Alabama, Miami, Clemson, and Florida. It's probably what you would say is your four toughest games, depending on how the rest of the ACC shakes out. And you get two of them at home, you get, and you're on the road for two. And I think what I like about this is your two toughest of your four toughest games, I think, are at home. You know, I would say that Miami and Alabama being at home is a big deal. Clemson is going to be hard. Don't get me wrong. They're going to be good again this season. But you've already gone into Clemson. You've gone into Clemson. You've won there. It's going to be tough. But I wouldn't say, like, of the games I'd want at home, I'd want Miami and Alabama at home. I think I'd feel better about those two games. And then going to the Swamp, depending on Florida. I mean, look, we got to go there once every other year. So I think that's going to be a difficult, you know, depending on how they shake out, they should be a little bit better this year than they were last year. But hopefully we are better too as well. So that's what kind of my big picture is, that you are getting the way you can really see kind of where this team is going to be for 2025.
Yeah. Now, the only place I will differ with you is I would put Clemson as probably your second toughest game. And the only reason I do that is because you are on the road in Death Valley. And Clemson was a young team last year, still found a way to win the ACC, still found a way into the playoffs. Yeah. And they're returning like 80% of their team, where Miami's losing a lot. They're losing like 80%. Yeah. So that game's going to be tough. But again, we'll talk more about that on Wednesday when we do the full schedule reveal. So, Michael, what in the ACC anyway? Like, if we're trying to make this ACC championship game, what is going on? There was a recent article put out on ESPN that is just the most mind-boggling, the most ACC thing that you could imagine, right? So the ACC has said, Commissioner Jim Phillips has said that they're exploring changes to the championship game model. And the premise behind it is because SMU almost got left out last year when they lost to Clemson. Now, I understand what he's trying to do here, right? With the fact of you want to try and pack as many teams in the playoffs as you can. So you don't want to risk your top seed being eliminated in that playoff, or excuse me, in the championship game weekend. But at the same time, the reason that doesn't make sense to me is that the only reason the ACC got two teams in last year is because the lower ranked seed Clemson won, took the automatic qualifier bid, and SMU was still able to get in. So I get the premise behind it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, the two formats that they're exploring have been where you would take the number one regular season team and have them take a bye during the ACC championship. Then you would have the number two and three teams would play. That's just dumb to me. First off, when you look at last year, just like Indiana and the Big Ten, where they skipped all the good teams other than Ohio State, got their doors blown off, SMU was the number one team last year, and they didn't play going into the championship weekend. They didn't play the number two, three, or four team. So how can you truly crown a conference champion unless you expand the conference games and you kind of have like the Big 12 used to back in the day? Which at that point, you could almost just get rid of the championship game. But we know they're not going to do that because of money reasons. And so that, I think, is just really kind of dumb. And how do you have a conference championship game without the number one team in it? It's just, at this point, it's just eliminate the daggone game if you're going to do that. Now, the other one that they're going to have, I like it better, but it still doesn't make any sense. And that is a four-team finals with 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. First off, where are you going to cram this in? Because you're going to have to add a whole extra game, which then makes your conference play a whole extra game than the other teams are going to have to play. You can still have the opportunity there for those teams to take a loss. Your 1 or 2 seed could lose to 3 or 4, which are teams that, let's be honest, it's the ACC. They're probably not even going to be in the playoff hunt anyway. I know last year Miami was, but how often is the number 3 and 4 team in the ACC going to be in the running for, the ACC going to get 3 or 4 teams in the playoffs? It's just not going to happen. So the opportunity to take a loss is still there by a team that might not even be a contender. So this doesn't make any sense at all, man. It's just, to me, you either go to 9 conference games, you eliminate the championship game, and you just have your regular season champion. They get the automatic qualifier bid, and you get the opportunity for the rest of the teams that their schedule and their resume is good enough, they can get in, or you just leave it alone, which is what I think they can do. Because then, you know, and even like they said last year, they weren't really going to penalize teams that lost in that conference championship game, and they really kind of didn't. They still got in. So to me, it makes little to no sense to change this thing.
Here's the thing. Jim Phillips, you this is incompetence. This is just ridiculous. Okay. There's no other conference out there talking about this. It's only the ACC that, and it's only Jim Phillips that would offer this most ridiculous, asinine suggestion to the conference championship. Okay. I'm going to work backwards because I want to start with most ridiculous to whatever. This 1-4-2-3, we talked about this via text message. This is the dumbest of all of them because here's the thing. The idea is that 1-4, 2-3 would play the final week of the regular season, okay? So after we play Florida, let's say we were 1-4. After we play Florida, then we'd have to replay another ACC game again after whatever we ended up in, which means we might end up playing another team we've already played once. Now, I know that can happen in the championship game, but at least there's something on the line for that, right?
Right.
We'd have to end up playing that. You have to wait late into the season. Then where are you playing this game at? Is somebody got to travel? 4 going to 1? Okay, well, guess what? They didn't plan for that in the budget. So now they're going to have to plan for more money in the budget to do that. Then, while everybody else is watching Army-Navy, the ACC is over here having this idiotic playoff to basically self-eliminate a bunch of people out of the playoffs. Then they're going to go and play in the ACC champion game and then do the same thing again. And by the time you get whoever your number one is, they're going to win, and the number one will get in, but the number two probably already has a loss or so, or maybe, and they're going to be looked at like, no, we're not putting that team in. They only got in by default of the ACC champion game because they played a dumb playoff game that nobody else wanted.
Right.
Sorry. And then I sound so mad.
Right. But it doesn't make any sense because then what if your number two team, like Clemson last year, were to go and slip up against the number four ACC team, which I think was like Louisville last year? Well, now you've pretty much eliminated them. Louisville probably is not getting in with that win. No. And so now you're probably only going to get one team. So again, just another reason that we need to find our way out of this conference. But let's just hope that they leave it alone and leave it the way that it is.
Well, and then let me just say this about the other option. The regular season champion gets a bye. First of all, this ain't basketball, ACC, exactly. Okay? Okay? There's no such thing as a regular season conference football champion. That doesn't exist, okay? We have the conference championship games for a reason, to determine the champion on the field.
Yeah, I think just leave it alone, man. Let's just keep things the way they were. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but, you know, it's the ACC, so what do you expect? but, yeah, just leave it alone, man. And again, like, you could have SMU be the regular season champion last year and didn't play the 2-3 or 4 team, but, like, you might take a team this year, like Florida State, who has to play Miami, who has to go to Clemson, who has to play the tougher teams in the ACC, NC State and Virginia Tech, and you might have to play all these tough teams. So, It would be so heavily weighted on who you played throughout the season anyway. Exactly. So, man, just leave it alone, Jim. Jim.
Stop, Jim.
Come on, stop. Jim. Leave it alone, Jim. So, anyway, the last thing we want to talk about here is just a quick turn our eyes to 2025. Michael, I'm excited about the season. Look, I might be one of the few. I know, you know, everyone, we're going to be like bugs to a bug zapper, like I always say. We're going to come back and we're going to be excited because, man, when you look at this 2025 FSU team, it's a new team, man. I know what 2024 was. I know it was embarrassing. But again, you have a new quarterback, probably a new running back in there somewhere. Four of your five offensive linemen are new. A new tight end, one that was a true freshman last year who was good. Two new starting wide receivers, new D linemen, new linebackers, new coaching staff. This is a new team. And so I'm excited to get 2025 started. And really, man, before we jump into that top 25, way too early top 25 that was put out by On3 that we're going to talk about, man, week one of 2025 is going to be one for the books. This is going to be a get your butt on the couch and get in front of break out all the extra TVs on this weekend.
That's right.
You have some marquee games here. Texas travels to Ohio State week one.
Can't wait.
Clemson go and LSU, they're going to battle for the real Death Valley. This is what I guess we're going to do.
That's right.
LSU travels. LSU goes from their Death Valley to the other Death Valley to take on Clemson. You have Tennessee versus Syracuse in Atlanta. And hey, that may not seem exciting on paper. That Syracuse team beat Miami last year. So let's not rule that out as well. You got Auburn has to go to Baylor.
Yeah.
You get TCU at North Carolina. Just Bill Belichick's first game. It'd be interesting to see how that one goes. Notre Dame at Miami. That'll be a fun one to watch there. Of course, Alabama at Florida State. You got South Carolina and Virginia Tech in a neutral site game as well. Georgia Tech at Colorado. Man, there are some really, really good games. So, I mean, we are diving in head first in 2025. So it can't get here fast enough. I think we're just over 200 days and I'm already counting it down.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Now, the question I have for you, Jesse, is if Brian Kelly loses another opening week game, he'd be 0-4 at LSU in opening week games. 0-4. You think he survives after that?
I think he would be on the hot season or the hot seat. I mean, Clemson should be a good team. They were de facto playoff, technically a playoff team last year. But man, if they don't compete for the SEC in a playoff bid and they lose again, I think he might be fired. And it's crazy to say.
I really do. But it's crazy because he's had he's not lost more than 4 or 5 games each season. The fact that he cannot win an opening season game and he's going to be 0-4. And yes, I mean, let me be real. He has to go into Death Valley. It's very hard to win there. I mean, he has to go into South Carolina's version of Death Valley. And it's very hard to win there. But I mean, man, I don't know. 0-4. Yeesh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not gonna be a good look, but there's gonna be a lot of really good games. Like finally, Notre Dame gets to start, or Miami gets to start with a real team in Notre Dame. So it will be interesting, man. I can't wait. I'm already counting the days down. But let's talk about that way too early top 25 that got dropped. Now, obviously, again, way too early. There is no way that you can start ranking teams already. Preseason rankings a month before the season are already dumb. But looking at some of these, this was put out by On3 by Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman. Obviously, you have your top five teams here are given with the playoff teams from last year. Then Georgia comes in at 6. Some of the surprising ones are Illinois at 7. Look, I know that they got some momentum. They had a good season. I think they bring their quarterback back for another year. So that will be an interesting there. South Carolina 8, I do find a little bit strange here. I mean, I know they ended, I think, with like 6 straight wins, and they had a lot of momentum. South Carolina hasn't won anything since they were in the ACC in the 70s.
Correct.
So, yeah, hey. But, you know, Michael, my first takeaway when I see this is thank goodness we're not in it. Let us earn it, because this is why preseason rankings don't mean anything, because we were preseason number 10 last year. But Florida comes in at number 9. And so that's a lot of high expectations being put on that Florida team, being put on DJ Lagway after an 8-win season last year, when most of their wins came against bad teams. So beating Ole Miss and beating LSU and then going on to win the bowl game, because I don't really think they got any credit for beating us, that has put sky-high expectations on a coach that they wanted fired last year before they won a few games. Then you have Clemson comes in at number 10 here. So already, I mean, you can look across the top 25 because, you know, we won't go through all of them, but you're already starting with Florida in the top 10. You got Clemson in the top 10 on your schedule. You also get Alabama at 14. Then you also have Miami at 21. So you have a bulk of the teams on your schedule coming into 2025 that are already in the preseason top 25. So that's what we were saying earlier when we talk about, you know, and a couple episodes ago, I said, look, last year in 2024, every team on your schedule besides Charleston Southern was decent. Now, I think Cal may have ended up with a losing record, but prior to the bowl games, every single team on Florida State's record last year besides Charleston Southern had a winning record. So every team was a bowl team. This year, you have a handful of really hard teams, but then the other teams on the schedule are a lot more winnable than the games that you had last year. So, man, you're starting with 4 teams already ranked in the top 25, or 4 or 5, whatever it was, ranked in the top 25 preseason. I know that's preseason. That's a long way to go before we can really start to shape our opinions. But, yeah, man, it's an interesting take on the top 25. I'm glad that we can start outside and earn our way in. That's what I want. But, yeah, man, it's kind of interesting to see some teams like, you know, Miami's sky-high expectations. They're getting the Beck bump, as we've been calling
it. That's right.
And Florida in the top 10 too, man. A lot of expectations on those teams.
Yeah, I agree. I think for Florida State to be able to start outside of that, there's already enough pressure on this coaching staff to win and win now. So not having that ranking, that number next to them, of course, as Florida State fans, we'd love to have that ranking. But you know what? Maybe, like you said, coming in from the outside and not having the pressure of having to live up to that ranking might be a good thing for Florida State as well. I think my issues are, and I wrote down a couple of them, Illinois was not a world beater last year. And how in the world did they go from not being a world beater last year to ranked seventh? Again, I know this is way too early. This is why I think preseason rankings are absolutely ridiculous and why we should get rid of them, period. That no team should be ranked until we get to the actual ranking, college football playoff ranking, because that really is when the rankings actually kind of matter. So Illinois at seven is ridiculous. South Carolina, I watched them. That's ridiculous. Okay, yes, Florida went 7-5 or whatever they went, whatever they
eight,
did.
Eight,
they
are, 8-5. And for the record, I didn't even know this. Illinois apparently beat South Carolina in their bowl game, 21-17 in the Citrus Bowl. That's interesting.
And there you go. That's interesting. And so, okay, so Florida went 8-5. They're still not the eighth best team in the country right now. I don't know where we got that from. Did we forget about some of the other teams ahead of them? That's ridiculous. Auburn at 11, they didn't even have a winning season.
That's crazy.
That's a jump. Now, here's what's interesting to me, and I think this is on Kalen DeBoer. This is a big deal. So Alabama right now, if this holds, if they're outside the top 10, they're right now 14th and it's way too early. This will be the first time, Jesse, in the last 10-plus years that Alabama's ranked outside the top five to That's begin crazy. The season.
That's right? crazy. And I'll so say you this. You talking about pressure?
I was Kalen just about to say DeBoer. It.
That's pressure. Like, we think Mike Norvell's seat is hot. Whew. Let them lose to Florida State coming off a 2-10 season in game one. He might not make it out of that. Now, if you win that Alabama game, I bet you're in the next top 25.
I bet you are. Yeah. Oh, if Bama were to lose to Florida State, he might not make it to Tallahassee Airport. He might get fired on that tarmac, right?
Like, we can hire him as an analyst after the game because he ain't going to have a job.
Exactly. And then you have OU at 18, 6-6 team. Like, I mean, of course, this is SEC love. Of course, because you have 10 SEC ranked teams, you have 7 Big Ten ranked teams, you have 3 Big 12 and 4 ACC, and then of course the independent there. So of course, you know, the SEC is going to get that love. It's how it's going to be. Again, preseason rankings are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just interesting to see it come out this early and to kind of see where people are gauging you at. But yeah, man, I'm excited to see where 2025 takes us, right? I'm excited to see us bounce. Hopefully we can bounce back. You got some tough games in there. You got some winnable games. And so stay tuned for that episode on Wednesday. The schedule does drop at 9 o'clock at night, not from 9 to 11. Gosh, this, Michael, talking about the ACC, this drives me absolutely bonkers the way they do this. First off, you're putting out games on Thursday. You're putting out games on Friday. Then you wait till Monday to release the rest of the schedule. I know we got West Coast teams now, which is probably why they're doing it so late, but who's staying up till 11 o'clock to watch an ACC schedule release? It's nuts the way they do this. The SEC's known their schedule for a month now. Like, can we not do this a little bit faster? But I digress. I will be at work Monday night when it drops, so I'll be working on getting the schedule graphic out. But then on Wednesday, when we have an opportunity to record, make sure you guys tune back in because we're going to go through the entire schedule game by game, give our thoughts on everyone. Who knows? Maybe we'll have some way too early win-loss predictions or something like that. We'll just have to see. Just have some fun with it. But, you know, Michael, this is when things get exciting, right? This is Monday when that schedule drops. This is when you start planning those yearly trips to wherever you're going, your home games, your away games, wherever you're at. This is when things start to get fun. So, man, I cannot wait for that schedule to be released on Monday. You know, I'm sitting there like I got my hand on the PTO submit button waiting to see what days I need to take off so I can go to these games. But, yeah, man, this is what I've been waiting on. This is excited. So we got 6 games that we do know about. We got the first basically month of the season locked in. And, man, it's getting you know, the more you talk about it, the more it gets you excited. Like, I know 2-10 happened, but, man, get you excited.
That's right. Absolutely. I'm excited for the season itself because it's a new, you know, you always kind of you drown out the sorrow of what last season was. And then you start to creep into like, okay, well, wonder what this could be, what this could look like. Here's the schedule starting to release and you start to build that excitement just little by little. And again, you know, I've said it many times, I'm not going into this season saying anything great about this team.
No.
Until I see it against Alabama. But we will have observations. We will be able to glean some wisdom from whoever's out there that gets to watch them. And hopefully, you know, man, hopefully we get back on and playing Florida State football where the minimum is 8 games that we're winning. That's what I hope for this going into this year.
Yeah, and maybe they'll surprise us. Who knows? I mean, like you said, I'm going to be excited, but I'm going to be cautious because, boy, we got flamed last year for not being cautious.
That's right.
I might be bugged to the bug zapper, and I might be zapped the very first game against Alabama, but, hey, I'm going to go in with wide eyes and a lot of spirit and ready to watch Florida State play. So that's going to be it for this one today, guys. We appreciate you watching. Make sure, again, that you check back on Wednesday for that schedule breakdown. I'm also going to try and do a written article on the website as well to go along with it. So we appreciate you guys watching. Make sure that you check out. Look, they may have just dropped the schedule, but you know who's always dropping great gear? That is today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU.
That's right.
And so make sure you check those guys out in Tallahassee, 1415 Timberlane Road, or online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and use code SPEAR to get 10% off. So appreciate you guys watching. Drop a like and subscribe on YouTube. A rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. And we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for watching. And as always, go Noles.
Go Noles.